Bam, 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 herzlich willkommen bam, zum REACH Podcast. Wake up and start up.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge unserer Podcast-Reihe From Science to Startup. Mein Name ist Anne und in case you are wondering about this weird transition, this episode is going to be in English because today we are talking about the international startup project Smartland Maps. Claudia Oriol and Kaspar talk to us about the Sustainable Development Goals issued by the United Nations. These goals, amongst other things, aim to end poverty and protect the planet. Smartland Maps wants to help that along by providing software and digital-based solutions to help people to determine their parcel and property boundaries. Welcome, everybody. And in case you're wondering, today is a very special situation, kind of, for me and also for the whole REACH podcast team, because I'm sitting alone with my colleague Christian here, and not as usual with the guests that we are hosting in our studio. But today I'm talking to the guys from Smartland Maps, a new startup from Münster, and we are not only international, we are also intercontinental today, because we are talking to Claudia, who sits in Dresden, correct?
Yes.
And Aureol here in Münster, but Kaspar in Rwanda, in Africa. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We are really, really happy to have you here. And I would like to ask you to introduce yourselves to us so that our audience can learn more about, or first of all, about yourselves. And then we are going to talk about your startup project. So maybe Claudia, do you want to start?
Yeah, sure. So hi, everyone. I'm Claudia and I live in Dresden. I studied geography quite a while ago, and I obtained my bachelor degree from the Technical University of Dresden and my master's degree from the University of Innsbruck in Austria. But maybe a more defining period for what I'm doing now was my PhD at the University of Twente in the Netherlands, where I did research about unmanned aerial vehicles, so these little flying drones, and their use to document land rights.
And Aureol, would you like to continue?
Yes, I'm Aureol. I'm originally from the beautiful country of Benin in West Africa, where I came to Münster back in 2010 to do my PhD. As you can see, I like Münster very much because I've been now here for about 10 years. Yes, I did my PhD in geoinformatics at the institute here in the area of knowledge management and information search.
And last but not least, we have Kaspar. Would you also like to introduce yourself to us?
Hello, my name is Kaspar. I did my master's degree at the University of Zurich in 1988. It wasn't called geoinformatics then, but it would be called geoinformatics now. I'm living since 10 years in the beautiful country of Central Eastern Africa of Rwanda, the land of 1,000 hills. And in the team, I would be called in the region the Mze. That's the Swahili word for the old man.
Oh, okay. Very cool. And how did you get to know each other? So, Kaspar, what's your connection to Aureol and Claudia here in Münster?
I got to know Claudia first, during the research project she already mentioned, that was the It's for Land research project funded by the European Union under the Horizon 2020 program. Claudia was responsible for the work package on drone imagery, to call it broadly, and I was a responsible person for another work package. We met then, and Aureol we met later.
Okay. And from that project, I reckon, did Smartland Maps emerge from? Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. We had a multidisciplinary team who created 6 new tools to make land rights mapping faster, cheaper, easier, and more responsible. Mm-hmm. Smartland Maps was then called Smart Schema, and was one of those tools. The research focus of this project, however, did not give us very much time to capitalize on our innovation. And with all of us eager to bring smart land maps from research to places where it can make a difference, we applied for the exist funding and were mm-hmm. really happy to see that our application was accepted.
Okay, we are going to talk a bit later about the exist funding, about the exist business startup grant that you won, one can say. But I would like to ask you to tell our audience in very easy words, what is Smart Land Maps about? So what's your startup?
I will try my best to do it in easy words, mm-hmm. But please ask some more questions if something is not clear. So with our startup, Smart Land Maps, we want to tackle the problem of land rights security mm-hmm. by providing services and technology that allow efficient, participatory, and low-cost documentation of land rights. And to make this a bit more explicit, I want to do a deep dive into the land rights context. So in Germany, it's pretty clear who owns what. So the property rights are registered in a registry, the so-called Grundbuch, mm-hmm. and the spatial extent of the parcel is documented in the Kataster, so the amtliche Kataster Karte. And however, if we look at a global scale, we have a reality where 1 out of 5 persons feel insecure about their land rights. And especially in countries of the global south, existing land rights are often rooted in traditional norms and values, and usually only passed on orally. So there is not really a tangible documentation of mm-hmm. those land rights. And imagine if you don't know if the land that you use today also belongs to you tomorrow, because you don't have a proper documentation, you have very little incentives to invest in this land mm-hmm. Because there's a constant threat of conflict or expropriation mm-hmm. or eviction. So it's considered very important to have secure access to land and a long-term perspective as an important role for livelihood and income mm-hmm. for a very big majority of the world's population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that this is really something that we here in Europe, for example, or in the more northern hemisphere, are not even thinking about. I mean, I know this is my property and this is my house and this is my garden, but maybe, yeah, like you said, somewhere else where my father or my grandfather or my great-grandfather has told me, okay, this is your property until, I don't know, this or that tree or that river or that mountain. Is it like this?
Indeed, it's a very different reality in most of our countries. And the problem is that by 2030, the global agenda is striving for a complete tenure security. So it's only 9 years to go to have really documented land rights everywhere. So how should we get there? Using classical surveying techniques like theodolites or professional GPS devices, as we know them here from Germany. So these classical surveying practices would take way too long and are mm-hmm. way too expensive.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me for interfering. So the techniques that you're mentioning now that are used up to now are the ones that you see also in the normal street here. People in I don't know, in construction areas doing measurements and measuring distances and saying, yeah, making claims.
Indeed.
Okay.
So. Typically, coordinates of a parcel boundary are surveyed with professional equipment. And this idea of having very accurate and exact coordinates of a boundary dates back to colonial times, where the colonies imposed this idea of having a cadastre to the local people. But with this idea, it would take way too long to document these millions of missing land rights. Mm-hmm. And this situation triggered the emergence of alternatives to this classical surveying during the past years that are also known as fit for purpose land administration. Mm-hmm. And these approaches, amongst others, also include that local people co-create their own land right information. So this works in a way that you have a printed satellite image as you know it from Google Earth or Google Maps, and you ask people to identify the properties and their land on this map and sketch it with a marker. And this is exactly the approach that Smart Land Maps wants to support by combining this very analog technique of documenting and recording land rights with digital technology, so that this information collected with this participatory mapping can be transferred into national land administration systems.
Mm-hmm. And maybe to follow up on what Claudia said, we really want here to combine analog and digital technology. So we have analog technology when, for example, the people are doing the drawing on paper. Mm-hmm. But of course, at the end of the day, what we want is to be able to store that data digitally. And this is where we are trying to build tool to support that step, to do the digitization efficiently. Now, I can briefly say the challenges that we have and why this is important. One of the things, one of the challenges that basically land right data is complex. I think she already mentioned this, that the situation in many countries of the world is not really like the situation we know from Germany. In Germany, mm-hmm. you would say you have more like a freehold tenure, which means I have my plot of land and I have it forever, or at least until I pass it on to somebody else or I sell it. But in many countries of the world, we have a situation that is called customary tenure, which means that many people have, or a group of people, let's say a clan, have some right over a piece of land. And sometimes it's just for a period. Maybe I can have the right to graze my cattle for 2 months as a clan. Okay. So you need to record that information. And this is one challenge. Or you can have also the other challenge that you have the social norms that you need to record. So if I belong to the family or to the clan that has a right, then also I have that right, even if I'm a baby. So you need to have all these social norms that are recorded. And I think the third thing is that you need a multilingual aspect. So in principle, you don't just want to record the information or the facts in the official language, but you also want to have, for example, the facts recorded in the language of the local community. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you try to do this, you know, you have the fact that the concepts in the words do not match exactly. For example, if you take from Germany to English, their words and concept in the German language, then you cannot really one-to-one translate these things into English. So all these things, we want to record them, and we use for this reason a technology which is called knowledge graphs, which is quite appropriate to deal with such kind of problems. And So we use then knowledge graphs then to address that complexity of land rights, and as Claudia mentioned, we have another thing, which is that people draw on paper, and you want to automatically extract the information about the parcel boundaries from this drawing. So when people draw, what you have is it's not always exact. Also, it is usually not homogeneous. And to do this, we use computer vision models to facilitate the automatic extraction of data. So that's how we stand as far as the software is concerned.
Okay, but I can imagine, I mean, you have now this kind of multidisciplinary approach to this, to the problem, because you're not only having the technology, but you're also facing interpersonal, intersocial, interlanguage problems that you need to tackle, as far as I understood. But how do you do it? I mean, if you make the people draw on the maps and they tell you, okay, this is my plot of land. I have the rights, like you said, to bring the cattle there for 2 months, a year to let it graze. But how do you confirm this? I mean, then also the neighbor could come and tell you, no, excuse me, this is my plot, or my my sheep are going to stay there for the next month. How do you do that?
Yeah, that's a very critical issue, actually. And we want to tackle this challenge in a way that we bring the neighbors together, so that people in a group make decisions and that it stimulates a discussion. And of course, it will probably not always solve all conflicts, but I would say to probably more than 90% of the cases, people can agree on their boundary, because usually what they have is that they have some physical representation of a boundary, be it some stones or a particular species of a tree or bushes. So typically people tend to agree on where the boundary is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then you also mentioned some other aspects, which is the connection to the local realities, which is quite important in this case, and that's why we are partnering also with organizations that are local, that know the community, and they act as a mediator for us and for the participatory mapping sessions.
Yeah, I can imagine that that's maybe the most crucial thing. I mean, I don't know how many dialects or languages are spoken in the countries where you're, where you're trying to set foot in. I mean, I know only from India that it's even bigger than, I don't know, Europe, and I don't know how many languages are spoken. So I can't imagine how this must be for Africa. So I guess you need to partner up with others. That's extremely interesting. I mean, but do you have then the software and also the hardware where you're using to tackle the problems? Can you speak about that, or do you have a prototype?
Yes, I think the It's for Land project was already mentioned. So in the context of It's for Land, there was a first version of the prototype that has been developed by the colleagues, focusing on those aspects of how do we extract the boundaries of the plot from an image after a participatory mapping session has been completed. Now we are further developing the prototype, focusing more on optimizing also the extraction approaches, but also then looking more closely into the complexity of recording the legal rights.
Okay, and I didn't get in the beginning exactly who and why up to 2030, why all the parcel boundaries need to be clear all of a sudden. Why and who decided that?
Okay, yeah, maybe I cut a bit short on that. So maybe you know the global agenda, so the Sustainable Development Goals. Mm-hmm. There's, I think, several goals set that should be met by 2030. And one of the goals is to end poverty and all its forms by 2030. And one of the sub-targets of this overall goal is to provide people access to basic services and land. Okay. So, and the global agenda is set by the United Nations. And we should be eager to reach those goals for a sustainable world.
Definitely, definitely. But does this mean that one of your clients might be the United Nations, or who are your clients?
When we talk about clients, we should see it from two perspectives.
Yeah.
There are the beneficiaries, which are the local communities.
Mm-hmm.
We help that they get their land rights documented. And then there are the clients more in the economic sense, those who pay our invoices. And the local communities usually don't have the money to engage in land right documentation, which is one of the reasons that it's not done. Maybe the governments in the Global South don't have it either, and that's where the development partners and the United Nations is one of them come in. The development assistance programs currently have some $2 to $5 billion US dollars per year, which they invest in land projects.
Okay.
In order to reach the Sustainable Development Goal 1 or 1.4, the part of land, when it comes to eradicating poverty.
Ah, I see. This an extremely admirable project then, and also very, very, very much needed, I guess.
And it may be very important to say the United Nations is one of them. In
yeah.
Germany, well known is the Deutsche Gesellschaft für Internationale Zusammenarbeit, GIZ, and each country has such a development organization, or each of the rich countries has one. And some of them pay a greater attention to development goal one, to the poverty issue, other ones on inclusion, etc. But GIZ, the German Development Organization, is doing a lot when it comes to land.
I see. So in which countries are you already active besides Rwanda?
We are present in Rwanda, or I'm mm-hmm. living in Rwanda. And we are targeting to have pilot projects to test our approach, to improve our software. And the first country that we are going to have such a pilot will be Benin. We have talked to organizations involved in development and in land rights in several African countries, starting from Ghana, Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia. And it's basically countries in the Global South with a focus on Africa.
Claudia, did you want to add something?
I just wanted to add that the regional focus of the former It's for Land project was also put on Eastern Africa. So the software tools that are now the foundation of our software were already also tried in Kenya and in Ethiopia.
Okay. Wow. I'm extremely impressed. I mean, you have such a big load of work ahead, I guess. Let's talk about your team. Is it only the three of you? I mean, you have to talk to all these organizations and countries. How do you do it?
So to the team, I guess we briefly presented ourselves, but we haven't also said something about our competencies. And I think one of the things about the team is that we do complement ourselves quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
I think Claudia brings all the knowledge about land administration and also the practical experience of having done some participatory mapping pilot study during her PhD. I bring the computer science perspective, the experience with software development, and Kaspar brings the business experience because he has already led a company in Rwanda for the past 10 years before he joined Smart Land Maps. A very important person to mention at this point is Malombo Shipofia, who is currently assistant professor at ITC in the Netherlands. He was quite involved in the development of Smart Schema during the It's for Land project that we mentioned. And he's currently supporting us in various ways, establishing contacts with people he knows, and also providing advice on the further development of the software. Mm-hmm. So we are not alone. I think we have, first of all, the Professor Schwering from the Special Intelligence Lab at the Institute for Geoinformatics. She's our mentor.
Here in Münster, no?
Here in Münster, yes. Mm-hmm. The Institute has seven labs, but the Special Intelligence Lab specializes on intelligent processing of sketch maps, which fits quite nicely, yeah. And wayfinding and navigation. So, so we have Angela, and then we have the REACH organization, which is supporting us with the coaching, with the business side. We have had very nice workshops that help us then shape the business idea further. And then we have coaches.
Yeah, so we have three very complementary coaches who we meet every 2 to 3 months and who critically reflect on our business ideas and strategy, taking very different perspectives. So including the perspective of a potential business partner, an investor's perspective, or the perspective of development aid employees. So all three provide very constructive feedback on our mm-hmm. strategy and business development plans.
Great. I mean, this is extremely good to know, I guess, but the three of you are the core team, and I agree with your complementary competences. You can build, or you are able to build, a lot of trust also for potential clients. I strongly agree on that. Kaspar, do you two want to add something?
Regarding our coaches, we selected them also a little bit with a perspective then we could attract business in the future, mm-hmm. because two of them are really active in the field where we want to have business in the future.
Ah, okay. That's,
and not only do they give us advice, but we build the relationships, we grow our network, and the network where we eventually will need to have it.
Yes. I mean, we all know that a good network is extremely important, but for you, it's maybe even more important, I would say. Let's talk about for a minute about your funding and your business model and where you're at which point in your startup funding you are. In the beginning, Kaspar mentioned that you won the Exist Business Startup Grant. You are still working with that. And do you have a subsequent funding that you're after, or how do you finance yourselves?
We still have a few months left until the end of October with Exist funding, and we do have applied for ongoing funding. Mm-hmm. We are hopeful, but it hasn't been communicated yet, so we hope to get additional funding. We have applied in two places, and one is more promising than the other one. So we hope to get some more funding, to get some more time. COVID didn't make it easy to reach out to our potential customers. It took longer, and an additional period with some funding would certainly be very helpful for us.
Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed for that. Claudia, you wanted to add something?
Yeah, maybe when it comes to the networking strategy, we would really rely on conferences where you have a nice presentation and you can engage with NGOs that are working in the land domain and other organizations such as the World Bank, or as we mentioned, the GIZ or the UN divisions. But in this regard, it would be really helpful to have another funded period to further build those networks, even though we are not able to attend conferences at the current time.
Of course not. Yeah, let's hope that soon things will improve and that we... I would also like to go to one or two conferences in the near future. So let's hope for the best. But yeah, what would be your next steps for now, except networking and checking out funding possibilities? What would be your next steps?
So our next step is actually, I think, the most exciting one. Mm-hmm. In our exist period now. It's the pilot study in Benin that we already mentioned. So we are very happy that we can collaborate with Cadastre International from the Netherlands and the Benin mapping agencies to do a little pilot test of our approach and our software in September, mm-hmm. where Oriol and myself are flying to Benin and do a participatory mapping activity with two different communities and try our software.
Cool. Yeah, Kaspar?
And we are still hopeful to have a second pilot project still within the exist funding timeframe, a pilot project in Kenya. There is an online conference in Kenya going on. We continue to use all the possibilities for networking to make our approach known and at the same time to apply for other funding opportunities.
Yeah, as I said, let's keep the fingers crossed in order for you to be successful. I mean, I'm extremely impressed about your project and what you guys do and what you're planning to do in order to help people to end poverty. One could sum it up like this. And I would ask you to give... I don't know, not a final statement, but do you have any recommendations or anything you want to say to other possible business founders here in Münster or anywhere?
I'm not entirely sure if that applies to all, but for us, an experience was it takes longer and mm-hmm. it tends to be more complex. We are a beautifully diverse team, but it also took us some time to find ourselves, to figure out where we agree, where we don't agree.
Ah, I can imagine.
So workshops by Reach have stressed on that point. And okay. we did appreciate that external help, which made us think in directions we may not have considered initially.
Okay, cool. So you would say not to give up immediately if one hits a bump in the road or some disagreements.
And maybe even we got them naturally, the bumps, but even look for some bumps because it makes you think more creatively and then the approach or solution in the end will be stronger.
Okay, I think this sums it up pretty nicely. So people look for bumps in the roads and in order for you to get to bring your startup along. I would all express my most heartfelt thank you to the three of you to have kind of joined me here today virtually and not live in the podcast studio here. I enjoyed it very much talking to you. I admire you. Like I said, the project is great and I wish you all the best and I keep my fingers crossed for your future. Thank you for joining me here and maybe till next time.
Yep. A pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Das war der Reach Podcast. Create future together.